That is the last book of your minor prophets, and it's the last book of the Old Testament. Now, we had our men's retreat at Mountaintop Youth Camp. And unlike the year before, Charlotte wasn't represented. You're not going to escape. I'm going to speak on what I spoke on then today. So if you didn't come because of that, sorry, you can run, but you can't hide. Be like Elijah and go into the cave, but the Spirit of God is going to get you there too. Well, it is so good. Betty and I are so happy to be back here with you. And our thoughts go all the way back to 1986 when we first came here. And many faces are missing. Many new faces are here. And I want to talk to you this morning from the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragon or the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. The son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I then be your father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts? Unto you, O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised your name? Father, we just bow before you and ask that your Spirit might open our eyes. Give us understanding, but more than that, open our hearts that we might be willing to allow you to speak to us this morning. You spoke and created all things. You can speak and create us from glory into glory by the Lord the Spirit this morning. And so we would simply commit our way to you and ask that you would honor your word, that the Spirit of God might accomplish the purpose for it, and that we might go away having been changed from glory into glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This book of Malachi is a very important book in its position in the Bible. It is the 12th and final book of the minor prophets, therefore it's a clincher to the minor prophets. But it's also the last and final book of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. So it's a clincher to the Old Covenant, to the Old Testament. God is going to deal with his people and give them a revelation of themselves. You know, we have that verse in Isaiah 55 that my word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent forth. That doesn't mean everybody that hears the word of God is going to be saved. It just simply means that every time the word of God goes out, it accomplishes one thing that God intends it to. And it is this. It will reveal the quality of the soil in your heart. And there'll be people who will be spoken to today in the messages, and there'll be people who will hear and leave, and the birds will steal it, and there'll be people who hear it and have an emotional response, and As soon as the trial comes, they'll have a problem and it'll die away. And it's just the Spirit of God showing us the condition of our hearts. It's up to the individual to be prepared to receive the Word of God. Don't blame the preacher. He's just handling something holier than himself. And when we come to Malachi, there's a parallel to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, because Revelation is a clincher to the whole Bible. But not only that, the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3 are a clincher to the church age in that book, before the day of the Lord starts to unfold. And it's also a link to it because the first problem that they had that God had to address through the prophet Malachi was their love for God. Doesn't that remind you of the first of the seven churches, Ephesus? They had works and they had activities and they had programs, but he says to them, you've left your first lover. The love of God is foundational to everything a believer has or does. For if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see, in Malachi, what's happening is the Lord shows up to his people. Now, remember this. These weren't people in captivity. These weren't people who didn't want to know the Lord. These are people who experienced Zerubbabel and Ezra. Well, actually, that was 100 years earlier. It was their generations before them, but their offspring of the people who went back to Jerusalem and built the temple and then built under Nehemiah the wall, and they enjoyed such progress. But something happens to them by the time Malachi comes, and it's this. There's no enemies attacking. There's nothing that's causing a problem. And when the people of God are living at ease, they're in danger. I remember hearing Warren Wiersbe many years ago. Well, he was speaking many years ago, but before he died, and he said that the church is in for a time of trial because we're too comfortable and things don't happen well for the church when it's too comfortable. Now, I want to ask you, and we're going to do this in the 11 o'clock service. We'll go through all the others. There are six responses to God that reveal six problems that you'll always find in your heart or in a believer's heart that you're serving. So whether you're an elder, you're going to hear these things, or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a one-on-one evangelist or just a friend talking to a friend out in work, and you're both Christians, you're either going to think these things or you're going to have it said to you. And so these are six areas, and I promise we'll get through them very briefly because it took six messages, one on each one when we were at camp. But anyway, you need to understand these. These are problems that the Lord's people have. Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to give you what they are in this morning one and hit the one about love, because I think we finish at 10:30, right? You robbed me of my time by talking in the back and not listening to me. I'm just teasing. How about this? God doesn't really love me. You never thought that? No, you're too spiritual. I thought that. How about this one? The Lord's work is such a drudgery. I'm having trouble. You ever have somebody say, I'm tired of being an elder. I'm tired of being a deacon. I've been tired of being a son. It's just such a drudgery. We'll address that too. How about this? I don't need to be with the Lord's people. And I don't need the Lord's people. I can be a Christian and never have to go to church. How about that? How about this? God must approve of evil because he's not doing anything to the bad people in the world. Why doesn't God do something? We wash that into a spiritual pattern by saying, man, I hope the Lord returns soon, brother. Right? I just want to get out of here. If you knew my back, if you knew my situation, if you knew my family, if you knew my chapel, if you knew my elders, if you knew my deacons, if you knew my spouse, oh, Lord, even so, come, Lord. No. That's not what we should want. By the way, we don't focus and we don't look for the rapture as the church. I know we have preachers that say that, but in 2 Peter chapter 3, thank you, there's nothing worse than a disobedient note. Thank you, Steve. Are you available for 2 months starting in December? I'm having back surgery on December 8th. Fits right into your week of program at the Duke Spinal Hospital for my back. But anyway, I digress. So you never thought that? Well, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he take care of me? He must approve of evil. And he says, no, he doesn't approve of evil. Well, how about this? Somebody comes along and they say, you know, I just don't have any money to give to the Lord's work. I just don't have any time to serve the Lord in the assembly. I just don't have... Have you ever heard that? How about this one? And this is a real clincher at the end. He says this. What's in it for me? Well, some of you look shocked. But you've never heard somebody say, I don't go there anymore. There's nothing there for my children. There's nothing there for me. They don't have fossils Bible study. They don't have young people. Or they don't have this. Or they don't have that. There's nothing there for me. Anyway. So anyway, let's look at the first one. It's the best one. It starts with love. It starts with love. Can you imagine looking at your spouse and saying to her or him, I love you, honey. Yeah, right. You know, it's unfortunate that some people do that. That's what they do to Israel, does to God. Look at verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. And yet you say, what do you mean? How have you loved us? You don't love us. Spoiled little children. Love, beloved, love is the foundation of everything. That's why when the Lord in the Gospel of John was approaching the cross, he told them, chapter 14, chapter 15, all the way through, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And people say, well, do we have to give on Sunday? Don't. If you don't love the Lord, don't give. That's what I tell people. Well, I don't know about this. Don't do it if you don't love the Lord. That's where it starts. God doesn't need it. God doesn't want it unless you put your love, your heart into it. Because the only thing you have to offer God is your heart. Okay, we got that out of the way. Now, here's their problem, and here's our problem. We live in a body that belongs in the natural realm. It's Adamic. It's got to go back to the dust. Because we're going to have a celestial spiritual body. Unhindered. This one, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, works an exceeding great eternal promise. Amen? I hope you're looking to have a new body. I'm looking for having a new body. It's going to be wonderful. So the Lord comes to them and he says to Israel, and he says, I love you guys. How can you say you love us? You say, and I'm just giving you a paraphrased version so you'll understand what's going on there, because we choke and swallow this thing about you've hated Esau. And we have all these books written about what God can't hate, but God does hate, and it's black, it's white, it's this, that. Stop. This is the argument. Are you ready? You say you love us. Oh, and by the way, let me clarify this before the time runs out. That say, the word say in the Hebrew, can mean thought or audible. I do not think they're dumb enough to say, you don't love us. I'll tell you what. I was bent over my mother's knee getting the old hanger, right? Because they believed in salvation by discipline. Yeah, beat the devil out of you and you'll be saved. Right? And I was 6 years old, and she was whacking on me, and I'm crying, and I thought, what am I crying for? And I looked up, and I smiled. Last time I ever did that. I can't imagine looking at my mom when she says, love you, son, and I go, yeah, right. Wham! They don't say it, they think it. Matter of fact, in one spot it says you puff at it. Pfft. Don't you hate that? High school kids do that. Pfft. Oh, no, you didn't. Worked in the high school 25 years. Don't point that finger in the air like that. Now watch, they thought it. You're right. Okay, here comes the paraphrase. You say you hate Esau. You say you hate, you love me. But we're going through the exact same thing that you're doing to Esau, who you hate. So you must hate us too. Broke into my house, some poor guy did, way back in 1983. I was speaking at a Christian coffee house in Hollywood, Florida. My wife took the two kids to Friday night youth work. I get a call before I even speak. Someone broke into the house. I'm home. The police are here. And I tell the guy, I gotta go. My house was broken into. And someone said, you mean God would let that happen to you, a preacher? Well, you know, that's what people think. Now that I'm saved and I have faith, oh, I won't need a back surgery. I've had five surgeries under general anesthesia in the last 10 years. But God wouldn't do that to you. No, he's giving me number six coming right down the road. Do you see their argument? You hated Jacob. You love us? We're both getting torn down. We're both getting beaten. We both go into captivity. How can you say you love us? And here's what his answer comes back. Esau's rebellion, I tear him down. They say, we'll build it back. And they do. And I tear it down again. And we build it. We'll build it back. And I tear it down. And God says, there's coming a time when I will tear it down for good in all eternity. And they'll never rise again. Listen. And your eyes will see it. Oh, that means we're going to be around then. Oh, you know what the problem is? You don't look for evidences of love and the negative things that are happening to you and compare it to unsaved people. You look at where you're going in eternity and realize you don't belong there. And that demonstrates the love to us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And listen, we will spend all eternity and we will see the unsaved judged. And we will see what eternity is about. And we will be with him. Listen. You don't judge what's going on in your life now that God loves you or not. You wait till eternity and then you'll know. That's Psalm 73, isn't it? My feet nigh well have slipped, it says in the King James. I know for God is good to the righteous, but it's not so in my life. I don't see it. I see the unsaved. They get wealthy. They get fat. They, even when they die, don't have pain. Unsaved people are dead already. And so they just... And then he says, I went into the sanctuary. And I went into the house of the Lord. And I beheld... Are you ready? Their end. You see? You don't look in this life. You go into the presence of God and look at the end. How does it all come out? I close with an illustration. We in our assembly about 8 years ago had a young man who was visiting because his grandmother was in the meeting and he had just been arrested. He got caught selling drugs and he was going to have to go to court. He knew he was going to have to go to jail, but it rattled his cage and he came and he heard a great speaker. It wasn't me. We had a visiting speaker. It was the right man at the right time for the right reason. By the way, God knows how to do that. And so he accepted the Lord. And we had the pleasure of baptizing him. And he came. And then the day came. And he found out he had to go to jail for 1 year. And then he would get out and his life could go back to normal. Well, the year went by and he came back home. And 1 week he didn't come. 2 weeks he didn't come. 3 weeks, a month. And we started to talk, what is going on here? After 2 weeks at a men's meeting, I just looked at another brother and said, I'll meet you in the morning and we're going to go by and visit him. Knock on the door. The door opens. Hi. You ever visit somebody and they really don't want to see you? Hi. Come in. And I go in. We shut the door. We sit down. And he looks. And I say to him, we haven't seen you back at meeting. Is there a problem? Yes, there is. There was a fight in the cafeteria and three men jumped me with metal trays and beat me to pieces and I lost one of my fingers. I don't think God loves me anymore. Because of a pinky? Now let's not think light of this young man. He was dead serious. He lived through that. He was trusting God through that experience and God let him down in his eyes. And so he thinks, well, God doesn't love me. What do you say? What do you say? Oh, it's just a little finger. You don't need it. Look, cut mine off and we'll be even. No, what do you say? I looked at him and I said, let's just look at the cross for a minute. And I stood and I said, for while we were yet sinners, Christ said, I love you. And his head went down. These Israelites were looking at their history and saying, God can't possibly love me the way I'm being treated. Listen, in this world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're on the winning team, beloved. And if you're here this morning and you need an embrace from the Lord, he sent me to tell you and look at your faces, I love you. And if you don't believe it, just look at that cross and then realize, oh, it's empty now. And then look in the tomb and say, oh, it's empty now. And then look up at the right hand of the majesty on high and he's going to say to you this, I love you. Oh, we're going to have beautiful bodies when we go to be with the Lord, aren't we? They're going to be glorified, except one person has one that's marked. Because he bears the scars, the marks. Not scars, the marks, the prints. For you. Let's pray. Our Father, we confess there are times when this world, when the enemy, when circumstances, and even the frailty of our life, and sometimes the greediness of our life, like little children, we pout and look to heaven and say, you don't really love me. But yet this morning, we've been reminded that you have demonstrated your love to us. We can't doubt it. It's historical, and it's recorded for all eternity. My, how he loved them. Father, we thank you for the eternal love of God. We think of the words of Jeremiah speaking to Israel years before, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. We think of the words of Deuteronomy. We think of the words of Moses when God said, I have not chosen you because you're greater than the other nations, but because I love you. We thank you for telling us this morning you love us. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.